another recording of From the Pastor's Desk. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Sitters of Grace Missionary Baptist Church. We're located at 6977 Summerfield Road, Temperance, Michigan, zip code 48182. We are just two blocks north of Toledo, Ohio. So if you're looking for us or looking to join us, we welcome you. Our Sunday school services are at 10 a.m. Our main worship services are at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. And as many of you have noticed, we also record a Wednesday service called From the Pastor's Desk every single Wednesday. These From the Pastor Desk recordings are just quite simply a reading through either tracts that have been written by brethren, missionaries, preacher, of that like, that support or maybe add another aspect to the current teachings from our pulpit and our main worship or our Sunday school services. If you have questions over any of these recordings or over any of the Sunday school lessons, over any of the main service messages, please feel free to write us at the mailing address I'd mentioned, 6977 Summerfield Road, Temperance, Michigan, 48182. Or as always, we welcome your emails at PastorJoeGMBC@gmail.com. GMBC being the initials for the church, Grace Missionary Baptist Church. Today I had the pleasure of reading something a little different. Typically we've been sticking with tracts or sermons from other writers. Today we have a historical essay written by Miriam Stepp about James Edward Hobbs. Before we get started, I want to give you a couple of Bible verses to keep in your mind as we read through this. It is a short historical account of Pastor Jim Hobbs. But I want you to keep in mind Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Korean War produced many stories of valor and heroism, among which is that of Pastor Jim Hobbs. His trust in his omnipresent God adds an element of faith that makes his story unique. If you take one thing from my story, he says, it's that God will always be with you wherever you go. James Edward Hobbs, Sr. was born on the 24th of December, 1929, in Portsmouth, Ohio. He was saved as a teenager and was called to preach soon after. His father passed away when he was 14, so his mother was not able to pay for his college education. However, by God's grace, he was able to go to Bob Jones University on a one-year scholarship. Finances kept him from furthering his biblical education, but he resolved to save enough money to go back. Upon his return to Portsmouth, his aunt had designs for him. A young lady that attended Bethany Baptist Church was deemed a perfect choice for her young nephew. Wilma Kirkendall had always dreamed of marrying a preacher. So Jim's Aunt Carrie procured a preaching invite for young Hobbs. As the Lord would have it, his 3 hours' worth of sermon notes turned into a 10-minute message. Due to sickness, though, Wilma missed the 10 minutes. This was enough to convince Wilma to let him sit with her during the next service. The rest of the story, as they say, is history. From September to December, they dated until their whirlwind romance ended up in marriage on the last day of the year of 1950. 4 weeks after they married, a draft notice came. Brother Hobbs wished to serve his country as a chaplain so he could continue preaching the Word of God. But unfortunately, the U.S. Army required a master's degree and ordination papers, of which Hobbs had neither. So he was shipped off to basic training and trained to be a medic with 4 other men. Because of the haste to get them to the Korean front, this consisted of CPR-type training only. As Hobbs recalled, they were instructed, if they were wounded, just give them morphine. After basic training, he was given a brief furlough to go home, then Company G, then the 7th Infantry Regiment, then the 3rd Division, shipped out to Korea via California. Upon his arrival, the commanding officer assessed the new recruits. Despite the 5 young medics' protests, They were each given an M1 rifle and relegated to infantry status. "I need more soldiers, not medics," their CO complained. As a result, he was field trained as a sharpshooter and was stationed along the DMZ, DMZ. Those listening certainly know what a DMZ is, which spanned across the Korean 38th parallel. Ironically, according to Hobbs, 2 weeks later, the same officer plucked out five other men from the ranks and sent them to train as medics. The DMZ ranged in width from 2 miles to a mere 100 yards, where Company G was stationed, just north of Seoul. With the war at a standstill, Hobbs transferred jobs to become a machine gunner. He served as part of a three-man crew that warded off potential North Korean forays into the no-man's land, as Hobbs described the DMZ. The machine gun bunker was to be manned by the three men at all times, with the gun continually trained on the road that came from North Korea, from the North Korean line. Both sides would occasionally send patrols into no-man's land to assess the enemy defenses, so they could never leave the bunker unattended. Of the three men, at least one of them was required to be there, even to the point of taking turns to eat and sleep. The first of four miracles, where Hobbs recalls God's intervention and protection, occurred in that lonely bunker. The only time he could ever remember the bunker being empty was the day a North Korean mortar round hit and destroyed the unmanned machine gun fortification. There was an awe in Hobbs' voice as he remembered the event of God's mercy. Shortly after, Hobbs was promoted to squad leader, where he was given responsibility for an 8-man platoon. He was more than just their squad leader. He was to be an example for the young soldiers to look up to and to look after their well-being. On one fateful day, the new squad leader led his troops on a patrol into the DMZ. Halfway down the valley, they were ambushed by a sniper in a tree. Every member of the platoon was wounded or killed except for Brother Hobbs. "The only reason he didn't get me was because the Lord guided the bullets, because I was their main target out in front." He alone made it back to the camp and was sent by his CO to identify the sniper and rescue his fallen comrades. All but one were rescued or their bodies retrieved. Speaking of that one, Hobbs said, "I never found out what happened to him. We didn't know if he was captured, killed, or just tried to find his way back and got lost. The North Koreans left their men lying where they died, but we Americans always went back to bury our dead and give them a proper funeral." Hobbs remembered the time of R&R, or rest and recuperation, fondly. "Most of those guys went into the bad part of town and got drunk and partied and such, but I would get a room in the middle of town," Seoul would be the town he's speaking of here, "I would get a room in the middle of town next to an orphanage. I told them I was in the army and would love to visit the war orphans. They told me yes, and that no one ever came to see them." Hobbs further recalled that, "When I came, it was like a star from Hollywood had come. They considered me the greatest thing in the world. The orphans would put on shows, sing, and do plays for me. There was always someone to interpret." Hobbs reflected that, "I had a better time than the rest of those guys. By the time they got back, they didn't know what they were doing or where they had been. R&R was usually 3 days long, and Hobbs spent almost every day at the orphanage." Halfway through his tour of duty, Hobbs' company commander died, and the army brought in a new one who had never been in Korea or seen combat of any sort. Hobbs was not impressed by this new leader, and this was evidence when he decided to show his authority by taking them on a patrol, and he got them lost. The patrol lengthened as the CO wouldn't admit his ineptitude, but finally he relented and asked for the sergeant's help. The Y sergeant pulled out his map and showed their location to a superior, who then decided to take a shortcut through a minefield. The CO came to Hobbs and told him to lead the squadron through the dangerous field and for everyone to step where he stepped. Hobbs says, "I very carefully took each step. I did not step down hard. One man stepped where I didn't, and he got his foot blown completely off." Hobbs knew that once again God had protected him and kept him safe from harm in his aura of protection. The fourth marked miracle of God's protection came around the same time while on a different patrol. At day's end, it was time to camp, and after Hobbs had started spreading out his bedroll, a protrusion in the cliff above caught his eye, and he moved his bedroll up on the shelf of the rock. Later that night, a flash flood came down the ravine and washed away virtually everyone's possessions except for Hobbs. Towards the end of Hobbs' deployment, he was promoted to his final rank of supply sergeant. As supply sergeant, he was in charge of the supply room where he would issue and requisition supplies for his men. He was also responsible for their mental welfare and morale. Finally, after more than 2 years of negotiations, the adversary signed an armistice on July 27, 1953. The casualties suffered by the U.S. in this three-year war in the Korean Peninsula were significant. The U.S. suffered 139,272 casualties in the entire war, not counting frostbite cases and other injuries. Of these, almost 25,000 were killed. Just below 102,000 were wounded, and almost 13,000 were missing and presumed dead. By the grace of God, Hobbs was not among any of these numbers, and he is quick to tell people that it is by the grace of God. Hobbs was sent home to Ohio to be reunited with his wife and family. He settled into work at a local stone company and was soon called to pastor King's Addition Baptist Church of South Shore, Kentucky, where he still pastors many decades later. At the age of 85, he is still a blessing to God's people and a true American hero. As a war veteran and a Baptist pastor, Hobbs is truly someone that this generation can look up to and learn of loyalty, honor, courage, and faith. His unfailing trust in God brought him through the trials and tribulations of a terrible war in a faraway country. Those attributes are still what Americans and Christians need today. James Edward Hobbs, Sr., has earned a spot of honor and respect among the heroes of American history. Praise the Lord. Just an update, this report by Miriam Stepp was written in December of 2015. Brother Hobbs today is 89 years old and has since retired from the pastorate of King's Addition. He's still a member there, still a great blessing to that flock and to his family, still a great blessing to your speaker. As I had the opportunity to answer a call to preach and potentially pastor that church as he resigned. And I'm thankful for the church's time. I'm thankful for Brother Hobbs as he allowed for me to preach in his own home. I'm thankful for what he's meant to my family over the generations as he was a good friend of my wife's grandfather, Joe Wilson, that he's been a man looked to for the truth, a man looked to for, as Miriam writes here, an example of loyalty, honor, courage, and faith. I pray that this reading opens up our hearts and minds to what our soldiers go through when they leave home. So many of us look at pictures of muscularly fit and bound men who seem brave and courageous on the outside, who are going to fight our battles for us, but we forget the homes they leave behind. We forget the many children who miss their dad or their mom. We forget the parents who spent many years raising their children, seeing them do the right thing with tears filled in their eyes, knowing how much they're going to miss them. Brother Jim is a great example of how God would be with them. I pray again that the verses in Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 would draw this recording to a proper close. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to once again reach out to your people. I thank you for this writing by Miriam, for the man that's written about, Brother Jim Hobbs. I'm thankful for the permission of those who have allowed for us to share this over these airwaves. I'm thankful for the two Baptist radio stations that share these recordings. Father, I pray that you would bless those works. I pray also that you'd bless our effort to put these things out. And Lord, certainly pray that the greatest blessing would be that a lost soul would come to know you. I pray that these descriptions of what should have been hopeless situations, walking through minefields or walking through raining gunfire would help us to all visualize and truly grasp the magnificence of your grace. That in this lost and fallen world, we're all walking through fields of landmines. Maybe not literally, but we're all walking with the hope that we'll live long enough to see what it's all about. Help us, Father, to see you. Help us, Father, to grasp and cling to your word, your grace, and your truth. We thank you once again, Father, and pray that you bless this work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.